Today, we want to talk about professions. Everybody tosses that term around, and sometimes people don't really have an understanding of what it means to be in a profession. We, as prospective chiropractors, are going to be entering into a profession, and we toss the term around, but sometimes we may not quite understand it. One way that we use the word is we use the word profession or professional in opposition to the word amateur. And we don't use that the word this way when we're talking about the profession of chiropractic. But we say, well, I'm an amateur golfer. I like to play golf because I love it. Amateur comes from the Latin word amas, amo, amas, I love. So I love something and I do it for that reason, as opposed to being a professional golfer. I play golf to make a living. I make money. It's my profession. I have it's making money. It's a job, as opposed to amateur. That's one way to use the term professional. Another way is to say that we are one of the professions, and sometimes you hear this word with it, the learned professions, and we typically use this terminology when we're discussing the chiropractic profession. What we say here is that we are one of the learned professions. In the early days of the professions, the healing arts were all sort of lumped together generically and called medicine. These days, we have many, many branches of the healing arts, all with their own professions. The profession of dentistry and optometry and podiatry all have sort of grown out of the generic terminology, medicine. As chiropractors, we are in a profession, and most people would recognize us as being a profession. We can talk a little bit about the origins of professions and sort of discover how chiropractic got where it is by talking about how the professions began very early. Without going into a huge amount of detail, we can talk about the professions beginning in the medieval university system. The university system was designed to create professionals. And in the 1200s, the 1300s, you might go to Oxford University or Cambridge University or one of the other great universities in Europe. And the purpose behind going to university was to become a professional. The professions that were typically represented at that time were four. And we talked about, we use the term the four learned professions. Obviously, the one that we're most closely attuned to is the profession of medicine, one of the fields for which a person was university trained. Was the field of medicine, and you went to the university to study medicine, to study all the concepts and the parts of medicine, and to do some practice of medicine to become a medical professional. Another profession that was that required university training was law. You went to university to become a lawyer. You went to the university to read law, to familiarize yourself with the law, and eventually to practice law. Once you received your certification, your credentialing, your degrees, then you could become a lawyer. The third was to become a theologian or to become a clergyman. So we use the term the men of the cloth because it was largely men at that time, if not exclusively men in the medieval university system, but you went there to study religion to become either a theologian or a clergyman somehow. So that was the third out of the four professions. The other was the profession of education. To perpetuate all the professions, we need teachers. And so you could go to university to become an educator in a particular field, and you would study the appropriate subject matter and then dedicate your life to training other people or educating other people in the professions. So the four learned professions were medicine, law, theology, and education. Out of those four grew several branches of the healing arts and several branches of education and branches of law, but those were the original university fields that you were trained in university for. So when the American system grew up, the American education system grew up, it grew up very much on the British model, and we were talking about Oxford and Cambridge as the original sources of this. The American university system grew up on the English model. And in early America, as early as the 1600s, Harvard University was formed, and you went to the university to become one of the four professions. All the other occupations, if you will, if you wanted to be something other than one of those four professions, there were other methods of training. Most frequently, you did an apprenticeship. If you were going to be in the trades, you did an apprenticeship. And at a very early age, age 12, early teens, you apprenticed yourself to a master tradesman, and you learned for a period of 7, 8, 10 years being an apprentice. And then at some point you could become a journeyman tradesman and go off on your own and be a wheelwright, a cartwright, a plumber, a butcher, candlestick maker, etc. So there were very different educational methods to become a tradesman rather than being a professional. But in the professions, we gradually have sort of grown up a sense of the elements of the professions, and we would say, let's define what it is to be a professional. And sociologists have done this. Sociologists have sort of categorized and delineated those elements that are considered elements of the profession. Most typically, we talk about four elements of a profession, most frequently when you read sociologists talking about this sort of thing. The first one is that in order to be a profession, it is necessary to have a high degree of generalized and specialized education. You go to school a long time to be a professional. First, you study general education, and a part of the general education for those people wishing to be in the professions in the past would always be Latin and Greek and mathematics and history and philosophy. You studied the major subjects in order to be a well-rounded person, and you became a well-rounded person by studying all these various fields. So that was your generalized education. And the generalized education very often in the university system would bring you a bachelor's degree. That's your undergraduate training, we would say. You get a bachelor's degree. And then if you want to be a professional, you go beyond that and do a specialized educational route. And that specialized, systematic educational process would bring you to a higher degree, usually a doctorate degree. And so you went on to do your specialized informational education at the university in what we would call today a graduate school. You studied the specific material and specific coursework of that particular profession. If you were going to be a medical doctor, obviously you studied anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and pathology, and the various components of your professional education. So the first element then would be a high degree of generalized and specialized knowledge. And all the professions that you can think of today, particular element probably applies. You got a lot of education. We know that in chiropractic education these days, you have 6, 7, 8 years of educational process involved to be a professional. Medical school, very similar. Dental school, law school, you have a bachelor's degree or an undergraduate degree plus graduate training to bring you to a specialized educational point where you are then allowed to take the next step, and the next step may be boards and other certification processes. The second element that is supposed to be here, supposed to be present in a profession as opposed to an occupation, is a primary orientation to community interest, as opposed to a primary orientation toward individual self-interest. So the term that is used for this overriding concern for the community interest is called altruism. That we have an altruistic point of view, that we're here to serve. We're here to provide services for others, to be a help to people, to provide services that will make their lives better. And that is part of our overriding concern. In chiropractic, we certainly have that. When you graduate from chiropractic college, you'll take an oath, the chiropractor's oath, that spells out certain obligations that you have to make other people's lives better. That's your primary concern. If you happen to make a buck while you're doing it, that's okay, but that's not your primary concern. A lot of the criticism of the professions today is based on this model of altruism. People say things like, well, the old-fashioned doctors who used to go out in the middle of the night in a horse and buggy and deliver a baby, and they got paid in, you know, 2 dozen eggs and a barrel of molasses, you know, those old doctors really cared about people. Today, the professions very often are seen as sort of money-grubbing people who are out to separate clients from their cash rather than serving the interests of the public. So we have that particularly in the legal profession and the medical profession, we have an attitude that has been created in the minds of the public that we are not primarily interested in community interest, but we're interested in taking care of ourselves. So we battle that all the time in the professions to let people know that we care about them, that we're doing what we do to help them. And, you know, sometimes we tend to forget about that. When you have $100,000 in student loans and there is a particular lifestyle to which you would like to become accustomed, you know, sometimes it's pretty easy to forget your community interest and start taking care of yourself a little bit and be more interested in self-interest. So we have to guard against that because we are in the professions primarily to serve. And we call them the helping professions, the serving professions. And in your chiropractic oath, you will be reminded that you are the servant, not the master. That you're here to serve people. And we have to remind ourselves that of that all the time. And that's one of the reasons we have courses like this, Ethics and Jurisprudence, to remind us of this. So that we don't get carried away with making $1 million rather than providing the best chiropractic service we can for people. There's nothing wrong with making a comfortable living, don't get me wrong. That's perfectly acceptable. But that's not our primary interest.